of you in Jesus' name. And I've been touched by our service this morning and very much blessed by it. And as Brother Leo was sharing his thoughts on the mystery this morning, I wondered if what I had to share is part of that mystery or not. I'm not sure. I believe that it is. The message that I have on my heart this morning is a message that is, I believe, simple, and it is practical. And I think one of the last verses that Leo looked at talked about how Jesus came in the flesh. He was justified of the Spirit. He was recognized that he was this. There was a connection between him and God, and he was the Son of God. He was preached to the Gentiles. Basically, what those verses are telling me is that we got to see the revelation of God in his perfection. That was the message, and that is what the whole book, the Word, is about. And so this morning, that's why this message will connect to that mystery. And I want it to be that way. I want the message to be a message from the heart of Christ. I want it to be and represent the truth of the Word. And so turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. I also recognize that many times we preach a message about maybe an area that we're thinking about and struggling in and recognizing in our lives. I don't know that I ever preached a message on bitterness, and that's what we want to look at. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Now, it was interesting, as I began to study this topic, I went to this verse because that's the one that your mind naturally goes to. It's the one that we refer to. We talk about a root of bitterness. And what was interesting, I almost turned away from the subject because I realized that this verse in and of itself is actually talking about something a little different. It is talking about this root of bitterness being a root of false doctrine, being a root of evil, being a root of, and it's why it goes on here, springing up trouble you and thereby many be defiled. It was talking about poisonous teaching. And I thought that verse fit what I was thinking about. And then as I went back and I began to look at this root word that's used here in the Greek, and also went back and looked at the word bitterness that's used in the Hebrew, I discovered that it really does fit with what I was thinking about. And in so doing, this verse can also fit what I want to talk about this morning. So I'm sorry if that's a complicated start, but I want to be very conscious about us using verses in their context and being constrained by what they're actually saying here. But I've chosen to keep it because in the bigger picture of this subject, it does fit. And so this morning, my message title is actually The Bile of Bitterness. The Bile of Bitterness. And I took that word from Acts 8:23, "For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness." And that word gall, one of its definitions is the bile. And you've maybe heard the expression or you've read the statement where somebody became angry and they felt the bile come up in them. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that already. Or you may have heard that expression about someone and referred to an angry response or that feeling that wells up. And so I want to look at that a little bit later, maybe in definition as well. But that's what I chose to entitle the message, The Bile of Bitterness. This morning, I've felt led to look at this feeling, and I believe it's a reality that all Christians experience one time or another. This thing of bitterness. Perhaps even this morning, in this meeting house, there is those of us here that are struggling with bitterness. And bitter and irritable thoughts about, well, maybe it's another person. Maybe it's about life and what it's dealt me. Maybe it's this church family, my brotherhood, or it could be my family. It could be my father or my mother. It could be my wife or my husband. It could be my child. And yes, it even could be bitterness towards God. Bitterness towards God. And it's probably something that we've all experienced. In fact, I sort of ran this statement by my wife, and she didn't know if it quite fit. I didn't have it in my notes. But I'm still thinking about this, that I believe, and I'd like to just sort of throw this out, and maybe the rest of the message will help to balance it. But I believe that every sincere, devout follower of Christ will be faced with bitterness. In fact, it is, I believe, a sign. Because God really does chasten those that he loves. And I believe that we are just carnal enough and fleshly enough that when that takes place in our life, whatever it might look like, we're going to have to deal with bitterness. And we're going to struggle with that. And we're going to have to work through that and understand that. And so what is bitterness? What is it? One of the ways that this morning you'll know, and I'll know, whether or not bitterness is something that's in my heart. Is whether or not, as we understand what it looks like and what it means. The Bible defines bitterness as acridity, as poison, as bitterness, like I just described, as being chafed, as being discontented, as having something great or something heavy on us. That's a definition of bitterness. And I already talked about the gall of bitterness in Acts 8:23. And so, bitterness, as Hebrews 12 talks about it, is a root. It says, the root of bitterness. And so, bitterness is a root. It is not seen on the surface, and yet it feeds the entire plant that extends above for all to see. And as I mentioned, Acts 8:23 speaks of the gall of bitterness, and that word gall suggests bile. Or poison. There is a poisonous in bitterness. And so here bitterness is described as the gall of bitterness as getting inside and moving through a person's innermost recesses. Bitterness gets inside of us and it moves through our bloodstreams and it moves through our innermost recesses. As I thought about that, as I thought about the bile with its reference to the bowel and poison with its connection to the bloodstream and its movement through the body, I was impressed with the fact that metaphorically both of these are used in scriptures as a source of life and the center of feeling. Talk about the bowels of mercy. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means the innermost feelings and the response of the heart. And bitterness finds its place right there. That's where it springs from. That's how it feathers out. That's how it moves many places. Bitterness is different than an emotion, but it's more than a feeling. I'm not a psychiatrist or a philosopher, but as I was considering this, these were the thoughts that came to me. It's different than emotion, but it's more than a feeling. You see, an emotion is a response to a tangible event, whereas bitterness is not a response to a tangible event, but rather it is a result of tangible events and situations that have not been properly worked through and accepted and ultimately put to rest in our lives. Bitterness must always be dealt with and repented of, whereas an emotion is normally not a right or wrong issue. Situations in life bring out emotions in us, and that's not wrong. And so we see there's a difference between bitterness and emotions. Perhaps we could describe the difference this way. We may say someone became angry, or we may say someone is an angry person. I felt like that helps me to understand what the difference between bitterness and an emotion. We are describing two different realities here. You see, we were thinking about what is bitterness. I want to think about now, how does bitterness affect us? Bitterness takes tremendous amounts of computing capacity on our brains and huge swaths of our heart to process and maintain it in everyday life. That's what bitterness does. You know, I can look into my own life, and as a brother in this church and as a pastor in this church, maybe I have more insight into some of the challenges of the heart and bitterness that can reside in our lives in this assembly. We have an opportunity sometimes to delve in behind the scenes and down deep into the hearts. And so I know, and this morning, my desire and my burden of this message is that if we are to be the revelators of the mystery of the gospel, this is an area where we need to be working through and processing and coming to rest in our lives so that God can use us, so that God can do a work in us. Bitterness takes tremendous amounts of computing capacity on our brains and huge swaths of our hearts to process and maintain it in our everyday lives. We process and reprocess situations, experiences, and relationships through the prism of bitterness. We maul through them, and we can go to sleep at night nursing bitterness and wake up fat and ugly with bitterness. See, bitterness separates us from people and from God. Bitterness gives us unfounded or at least unbalanced fear. Bitterness attacks the sound mind that God has promised that we can have and replaces it with instability and unrest. That's what bitterness does. That's how bitterness affects us. Bitterness can freeze a person, or bitterness can create an unnatural drive in a person to make a statement against people, situations, and even against heaven itself. Bitterness can either freeze us up. We become so entrenched in this thought process, in this struggle, in this deep feelings, in this, we can have all of that going on in our hearts, and it just freezes us. It locks us up. God can't do much through us, and we can't do much for God. We can hardly do things for ourselves. Bitterness can go that far, or it can give us such a drive and a force to move forward and to make a statement and to prove whatever it is. Bitterness has all of those potentials. Bitterness affects other people, and my influence and usefulness in the kingdom. But perhaps most of all, it affects me, its owner. Because after all, it's all about me. Yes, it's the capital I. You see, bitterness blinds us to others and focuses myself on me. That's what bitterness does. Bitterness has all of those capabilities. I'd like to go on to my next point. What are some of the ways in which bitterness can enter our hearts? And I do want to go into the Word of God. The first point that I have under this section is by life experiences allowed by God. Life experiences allowed by God. Turn with me to Job chapter 7. And I'll admit there's probably many places where I could, where we could go in the scripture and be able to see bitterness. And I'm just going to choose some easy ones. Ones that we already know about. What are some ways in which bitterness can enter our hearts? Life experiences allowed by God. Job chapter 7 and verse 11 says this. Therefore, this is Job speaking, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. We understand what was going on here. Job had just experienced the loss of all earthly possessions. He just had lost his children. He had lost his goods, his farms, his lands, and in the most unusual way. And he said, because of what all is happening here, oh, and that's not all. In the midst of that, he lost the support of his wife and of his friends. There wasn't a whole lot left. And Job said, do you know what? I'm not even going to refrain my mouth anymore. I'm going to speak in the anguish of my spirit, and I'm going to complain in the bitterness of my soul. Do you think that was totally inappropriate for Job? I don't know if it's a fair question. I don't know if we really can answer it. But can we understand why he said what he did here? Can we understand why Job said some of the things he did? I think we can. Job also said in Job 10:1, my soul is weary of my life, and I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. He said it again. I would have to say that Job did not have the right to be bitter. But we can understand the struggle of his heart. Someone has said it's okay to ask why of God, but it's not okay to stay there. It's okay to struggle with those questions. I believe God understands that. And through that struggle and through that question and through the complaint of my soul and the anguish of my heart, God can do something in our lives. And he can speak into our lives. So how is it one of the ways in which we, in which bitterness can enter into our hearts? It's through the life experience allowed by God. Turn with me to 1 Samuel 1. I want to look at another story. And that this is another familiar account, but in verse 10, Hannah was said this, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And we know the account. She had gone up to the temple to pray. And Eli thought she was drunk in verse 14 because of the way she was bearing that burden and that bitterness that was in her heart to the Lord there in the temple. Hannah was deeply troubled and consumed by her inability to have a child. And we could go on through Scripture and look at more examples of places. I believe David is one we could go and look at. All that he did for God, and yet there he was running and hiding, and he didn't understand all that was going on in his life. And God was allowing these situations into his life that had all the potential and possibilities of creating bitterness in our lives. And this morning, God is doing the same thing to you and I. One of the things that has amazed me about our God is that he has allowed the possibility to exist for us to be sold out for him or sold out for the devil and anything in between. He doesn't remove conflict from our lives because he's fearful that we will come out wrong. Now, I do believe that God will, with the temptation, create a way of escape. And so I do see a loving God who is engaged in our lives. But many times, He does not remove the deepest struggle because he's fearful of us becoming bitter. He is willing to allow us to enter into bitterness so that he can call us out of that. And through that, learn of him and grow in him and learn about ourselves. I believe that's our God. And here we see Hannah, who had this noble desire. And so this morning, I don't know what as you think about life experiences allowed by God, I don't know exactly what those are in your life. And young people, many times, one of the greater struggles of young people's lives is experiencing the bitterness of unanswered hopes and dreams and expectations. And I believe as life goes on, and as we experience more of life, we begin to understand ourselves better and the economy that God has developed, the way in which he sanctifies us and the way in which he accomplishes his will in our lives. And because of that, we have a better understanding. But I think bitterness is an area that, especially for young people, can struggle with deeply. And I want you all to be thinking about that. Remember the definitions. I don't plan to go back through that a lot. But remember what we talked about. Bitterness, how it affects us, how it works in our lives, and that seriousness of it, the seriousness of bitterness. Another way that I see that bitterness can enter into our hearts is in our relationships. Bitterness can enter into our hearts in our relationships. I've moved from a relationship with God to our relationships. Let's look right here at Hannah. Just if you're still open here, go back up to verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Who was her adversary? Was it the devil here? If you go back up a little bit further, you'll see it was Elkanah's other wife, Peninnah. And there she was. She rubbed this in the face somehow of Hannah. I don't know what she said. I don't know what she did. But you sisters maybe could speculate on that and maybe understand it better than any one of us, how that may have happened. How that she bitterness in relationships is something we struggle with many times, and we see it here. And I'm not going to go to a whole lot more places in Scripture for examples of this, because we know that this is so real. We have experienced it. How that bitterness can so easily come in is something we struggle with many times, because they are so close to us. Our relationships with each other, and how that can bring bitterness into, and they can be so real to us. And how that person's, what those words that he said, or the way that I was treated, or the way that my thoughts were crushed, or the way that my vision wasn't implemented, or the way. And there's so many ways in which bitterness can come down and enter into our hearts. And another way is that another thing that God, sometimes I wish that God could present his truth to others so clearly that their struggle is with their bitterness and their relationship with God, and allow some of the rest of us to stay out of it. But many times God uses the brotherhood, and he uses each other to test one another, to present truth to one another in such a way that it can create all of the necessary ingredients for bitterness. They're all there. And sometimes I just wish God would have taken that away from us. Why can't you be that mouthpiece? And yet we see that God has created and God has set this up, and he has brought that into those possibilities into our relationships, into our church life. That's the way God has designed it. We're not individuals by ourselves. We're not a world in our own, but we are a collective body. And through it, we have the possibilities exist for the bitterness and the feelings and the resentment and that poison and that bile that can rise up. It's all there. All of the possibilities exist. And so one of the ways that bitterness can enter our hearts is in our relationships. Another way that bitterness can enter our heart, and I see this as I was looking, one of the ways in which I was studying this is by looking at the word bitterness, and the word bitterness is used in a relationship with parents to children. And if you'll turn with me to Genesis 26, I'd like to look at Isaac and Rebecca and a struggle they had. 26 and verse 35 talks about some of this. I'm going to read maybe two verses here right now. Isaiah 26, verse 34 and 35. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Bashemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite. And then it says, which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. And it's the same root word for bitterness. It was a bitter pill, sometimes we say, for Isaac and Rebekah to swallow. Why? Wonder why. Was it because the girls weren't pretty or they just were, I don't know. Well, why was it a struggle for them? Well, it was a struggle for them because these girls, these ladies, these women were idol worshipers. They were people committed to pagan practices. They were ungodly people. And if you'll look over here in Genesis 27, verse 46, now, again, if you look at the context of this, there's a whole lot of things going on here. Now, I don't know what Rebecca's intent all was here, but let's just see what she says. She said, Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are the daughters of the land, what good shall my life do me? She was referring, and that word grief is the same word as bitter. She was referring to the wives of Esau. And she was saying, let's send Jacob off so that he doesn't marry a wife from here. And that he would go to a good place, and they made those arrangements. Of course, Jacob needed to leave because Esau was threatening to kill him. But I still think what we see here is an example of someone who was struggling with the reality, with the bitterness, with the disappointment, with the sorrow of ungodly wives and choices of their son. And I think that is a way today that bitterness can enter into our hearts as parents. And I don't know, I haven't faced all of that yet because my children aren't that old yet. And yet I realize that we face it in other ways. We face it in our relationships with one another, in our choices, and different things. And so this morning, there is the possibility for bitterness to enter into our hearts. And how does it affect us? How does it shape that? What does it do in our relationships? What does it do in our own hearts? What does it do in our usefulness, in our possibilities of being able to speak into our children's lives, into our brothers and sisters' lives? See, this test of bitterness can come into our lives when we feel like God is testing us further than we can handle with the responsibilities that he's given us, with our children. And sometimes we can struggle with that as well. And that can be a bitterness to us. And my fourth point that I want to make in this section, how does bitterness enter into our lives? And then I have a closing point I'd like to make. And that is, how does bitterness enter in? What are the opportunities? And that is in the choices that we make. In the choices that we make. Bitterness can enter into our lives and into our hearts because of choices that we have made. And there was no better quick example of that in my mind than Peter. Peter, after he had denied his Christ, went out and he wept what?
Bitterly.
I know some of us are busy with babies and some of us are struggling to sleep. But bitterly. He went out and he wept bitterly. And let me ask you, do you think he had to forgive himself for that? He absolutely did. He had to forgive himself. He was the one who said, Lord, I'll never. And the Lord said, well, you will. And he did. And so I believe that Peter most certainly had to struggle with that. And so do you and I. We have made mistakes. We will make mistakes. And as we do so, and as we look at those realities and what all that has brought into our lives and the turmoil of soul that that has brought and the broken relationships that that may have brought, you name it, we struggle with bitterness. And that gall can eat us up. And we can keep looking back there and we maul back through that. And if only, and the Christ is saying, not only do I forgive you, but you must forgive yourself. So that we can walk together. So that you're not looking back there. So that you aren't caught up with that situation. That's the Christ that we have. And I think especially young people have this struggle in choices we make. And it doesn't just stop with young people. It enters into all of our lives. But the God that we serve, again, has allowed the possibility for us to make all the choices of sin and wrong and all the possibilities of bitterness and anguish that goes with it so that he can help us see the great salvation that he's offering. And let's remember that this morning. So I have one more thought yet of how bitterness can enter into our lives, and that is that we have an enemy who thrives in the acidic soil of bitterness. Satan would like, and his demons like nothing else than to somehow get someone caught in the snare of bitterness, and in that snare, they can work and wreak havoc like no other. Because bitterness takes us out of the good graces of God. It removes us from the rest in Christ. It places us in a fragile place. It places us in a place where we're suffering with our connection with God. And as that happens, we have an enemy who can make heyday with that whole situation. That's why this root of bitterness, that's why this gall of bitterness is so serious. And it can affect us in so many ways. Romans 3, I think, describes this person. I'll read a few verses in Romans 3, verses 10 through 18. As there is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are gone, all gone out of their way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asses under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And so on. I see in that list of descriptive terms, I believe that the cursing and bitterness and the violence and the destruction and misery and the not knowing the way of peace hinge directly around that verse. And we continue on. As we think about what bitterness can do in Satan's foothold, there were Simon, as he was seeing how that man, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, were able to heal and were able to do powerful things. And he said to Peter, I tell you what, I got a pocket full of money. Let me buy that. And what was Peter's response? Oh, you don't understand. I need to teach to you more fully the way of the gospel. Peter said to him, I perceive
that you are in the gall, the bile of bitterness, and in the bond of iniquity. Now, if that doesn't sound like the grasp of Satan in a person's life, I don't know what does. And that was why he was not able to receive this gift of the Holy Ghost. And it's the same for you and I today. And I believe that Satan desires and needs, one of his most powerful tools is this toll of bitterness in our lives. Well, back to Hebrews 12:15. Looking diligently, lest any man fall of the grace of God. That phrase in and of itself helps us to understand that the possibility exists for us to fall away from, to be moved from an existing condition in Christ. Those possibilities exist. And at the same time, there be a root of bitterness that springs up in us and it begins to trouble us. It begins to, it's a belief system, it's a doctrine, it's a teaching, it's an understanding that destabilizes us. It troubles us. It moves us away from stability and rest in Christ and the gospel message. And thereby many be defiled. You see, one of the tools of our enemy, I don't believe, tonight we have a message on the devil, but I don't believe that the devil has the abilities to be everywhere present. I believe that he has a tool in his bag that God has allowed him to have, which is that we all have the fallen nature, and we grow up with that. But so what I'm saying is Satan really does need this place of bitterness for him to perpetuate his kingdom, his influence to many. And I believe he does that through this root of bitterness that is being described here in Hebrews chapter 12. Well, so we notice in that verse that this root of bitterness can spring up and defile not only ourselves, but many others. So the enemy of our souls in the kingdom of this world would like us to defile not only ourselves, but those we influence. And so my final point is the answer to bitterness. We can't end here. What is the answer to bitterness? First of all, I think that we must acknowledge how prone we are to bitterness and be willing to be shown where it has taken root in our lives. I think we need to be willing to acknowledge that bitterness more than likely is working somewhere in our hearts. I just don't know that we're that perfect. I believe that we need to recognize that it's very possible, and it is something, if we're not actively engaged against, is actively present somewhere in our lives. And it's bile. It's life juices are flowing up, and it's manifesting itself in our plant somewhere. The second thing I believe that's an answer to bitterness is to repent. And again, I looked at Job as an example of someone who was struggling with bitterness, and I want to look at Job as an example of someone who repented, because those are, I think, my heart thrills every time I read those verses of Job. And that's in chapter 40, verses 3 through 5. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer thee, yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." And then over in Job 42, verses 1 through 5, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." And so I see the answer to bitterness this morning is simply repenting. seeing myself for who I am again, and seeing our God for who he is. He had a perfect plan in Job's life. He accomplished his perfect will in Job's life. And Job says, I believe now, and I accept it, and I'm done talking. I realize who I am again. And that's where you and I must come to. We must repent of that bitterness. That bitterness, we have to see it for what it is. We have to see it for its seriousness. We have to see it how it's a tool of the devil. It's being worked out in my life. And and as we can do that, I believe we can repent of it. Well, Hebrews 4:31 says this, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. Doesn't that all fit real well with that word of bitterness? Those are all just the fruits of bitterness. Be put away from you with all malice. And I see in that verse that we must be willing to put it away. There is nothing more fulfilling carnally than pulling the handle on the pump of bitterness and pushing it up through our lives and soaking in that and enjoying that. But there must be a choice. For us to be free from it, we must be willing to put it away. This suggests a choice and hard work and the necessary grace of God to be free of what verse 31 here in Ephesians 4 is talking about and describing in our relationships. Ephesians 4:29, this is just sort of a bigger, sort of the context around that verse. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And what? We know the verse. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Sums it up. That's the answer to the bitterness that so easily gets a hold of our lives. But God, I've been serving you here and I've been serving you there. And the last point is, the last thought is to trust in God. The answer to our struggle with bitterness is to trust in God. There's a couple different verses in Psalms. We're not going to turn there. I'm going to read you Psalms 46, 1 through 3, if you're taking notes. Psalms 94, verse 19. I'm going to read that verse. But there's surrounding verses in Psalms 94, 12 through 23. If you'd like to write that down and read them, they speak a very beautiful picture of our God. And he says here in verse 19, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comfort delights my soul. In the multitude of the thoughts of our God, we receive comfort and rest into our soul. Do we know that, God? You see, Brother Brian talked this morning about questions that I believe this congregation must reckon with. But let me tell you, when the day comes that we decide that we're going to answer that call, the possibilities of bitterness will become more real, because we're going to have to lay down this, we're going to have to lay down that, we may need to give up that. And then, in all of those good works, God may very well test us in a way that we never saw coming. But God does it to make us more like him. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you once again for allowing us to look into your word. Thank you for this assembly of the saints. Thank you for this opportunity to worship and to sing and to pray and to be instructed in so many different ways. Oh God, I pray that as we have thought about the mystery of Christ this morning, that as we have looked into your word, we would understand just a little more of that mystery in this practical area of bitterness and how it so easily enters into our hearts. And oh God, you know that even as I've shared this message, it's an area that I struggle with. And I wonder why sometimes. And I don't understand it all. And yet I pray that you would help each one of us here this morning. I pray that you'd help our young people to see where bitterness can so easily creep into our hearts and can turn us against those that have, not only those here on this earth who have their best at heart, but turn them against the heart of God. And I pray for those of us in the middle of life where the plates seem full, and then the new challenge arises, and we wonder why. And we ask those questions, and we can struggle with the bitterness. And I think of those who are older, and maybe they have their own set of challenges and ways in which they too can be caught in this gall of bitterness, in this bile of bitterness, in this poison of bitterness. And I pray that you would help us to see it for what it is. I pray that you would help us to understand that it's one of Satan's powerful tools in tearing apart the kingdom of Christ, in accomplishing his will in relationships, in accomplishing his will in my life, of getting me caught up with the me. And I pray that you would help us be willing to be honest with, to work through, to process where bitterness has taken root in our lives. And I pray that you would also allow ourselves to be healed by your love, by your mercy, and by your forgiveness. And so bless us and keep us, O God, in your care, in your hand, and may your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.